As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Today I preach to you the attention-getting purpose of God. The attention-getting purpose of God. Would you pray that God would speak to your heart here today? Thank you, Lord, for what we feel. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and power. I pray, God, that your will be done in us, God, that you would enable us to hear what you would speak to us, God, that you would get our attention today, and that your work would be accomplished in us. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, God. We thank you for what you are doing in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? Seated today. How many here have had maybe your mother or father, perhaps your husband or your wife, your boss, maybe even the pastor say, I need to talk to you when I get a chance? How does that make you feel? I need to talk to you when we get home. I need to talk with you after school. I need to talk with you after church. That doesn't it make you want to get it over right then and figure out what it's all about, because you're going to be wondering all day what this meeting's going to cover. I believe today, and I feel it, that in this service, God is speaking to quite a few in this house, and he's saying, let me get your attention, because I want to talk to you about a few things. Amen. I've got something that I want to deal with you about. And now immediately we might think, well, oh no, I'm in trouble. What's God going to do? But when God gets our attention, we've got to remember that it is always for our good. Even if it is for correction, it's so that we can be blessed once we get back on track. Amen. Let our prayer be in this house today that the attention-getting purpose of God would get a hold of us, and that he would speak to our lives, that we would hear his great voice, and that we would be changed, that we would be called. Amen. How many of you want to be directed in the will of God today? Don't let us miss the attention-getting purpose of God. And somebody ought to be a little encouraged today, because God cares about you. God knows where you're at. God has your best interest in mind. And even if he's getting our attention in correction, it's all good if we can accept his will for our lives. We just need to be thankful that he's still reaching for us, that he's still doing a work, and that his word still works on our heart, and that he has a plan for our lives. What are some ways that God gets our attention? First of all, a restless spirit. Sometimes God gets our attention by making us restless. If you're experiencing restlessness deep within your spirit, and maybe it's something that you can't quite identify what it is, but I challenge you to stop and pray and say, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? It could be that God is trying to get your attention. In Esther chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we read, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthani and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. In this instance, God created within the king restlessness so he couldn't sleep. I'm sure that the king thought, well, if I have all these records read, well, it'll be so boring and I'll fall asleep during it. But God had other plans. And so it was in these records that the king learned that Mordecai was responsible for saving his own life. And, But he had never been rewarded for it. And so as a result, the king blessed Mordecai, and it all fit into God's plan to save the Jewish people. I wonder, have you had some restless nights lately? Could it be that God is trying to get someone's attention today, that he's trying to say something to you? Could it be that God has a work for you to do, and he's trying to tell you what it is? And maybe there's a soul somewhere that's hanging in the balance, and God's looking for someone to stand in the gap through prayer. And maybe there's a blessing or a word from his spirit, or maybe even a warning, and God's trying to get your attention so that he can speak to you. Instead of taking a sleeping pill and rolling over, maybe our reaction needs to be, God, are you trying to speak to me? I'm listening, Lord. God will also get our attention at times through a spoken word. He does speak at times to some with an audible voice. More often than that, he will get our attention using the words of others. Now, we've got to be careful about what words we let into our spirit. Consider the source. Consider the source. If what someone speaks to our life as being from the Lord, if it doesn't line up with what the Bible says, then we better not listen to any advice that person would give us. Amen. If we're submitted to spiritual authority and someone comes along who isn't, we don't need the voice of their flesh directing us or directing our family or directing our future. I tell you today, we need a word from God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Lord gave a message both to Samuel, who was a young child, and to Eli, the old priest. And he gave them a direct word from God. Maybe it's in a time of prayer. Maybe it's in a church service. Maybe through one of Pastor's sermons. But however he chooses to speak, we need to be ready to listen. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, God sent the prophet Nathan to King David to confront him about his sin of adultery and murder. You remember how David had lusted after Bathsheba, and he had pursued her. And while her husband was off fighting at war, she became pregnant. And David tried to cover the whole thing up and eventually had Bathsheba's husband killed. He thought he was off the hook. But God sent word, and he sent a word through the prophet Nathan. And when Nathan told David that thou art the man, if you look at David's response, he immediately repented. If God sends us a word of correction, amen, let us have the same response as David. God, forgive me. I repent. You know, as pastor, there are times that God directs me to speak with someone about the direction they're headed in. It's interesting to see the different responses. Some like to argue back about, well, I'm doing it for this reason, and I'm really not wrong, and I don't see the problem in what I'm doing, and there's only so much that I or Bishop or God can do with that person. But it's so much easier. It's so much easier to deal with those that have a heart like David, and they're willing to deal with the issue, and they're willing to give it to God. And it may be years later, but you look at the outcome of each different mindset, and it'll be so plain to see, because one let God get their attention and the other refused. Another way that God may seek to get our attention to bless is to bless us in an unusual way. You see, God knows exactly where we are. He knows what we need, and he knows the desires of our heart, and he delights in blessing his children. We've got to be so very careful in recognizing that God may be blessing our life, not because we're so awesome and wonderful, but he may be trying to get our attention. Amen. He may be trying to let us know that he is the one that will supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And sometimes people take the blessings of God to mean that, well, God approves everything about my life. And that's not necessarily so. Romans 2 and 4, it talks about those who despiseth the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Sometimes the blessings of God and his patience and his tolerance with us, it may be because he's trying to get our attention. Maybe he's trying to call us to a place of repentance where we realize where our blessings come from. It's not because we're so intelligent or so lucky in life, but it's God reaching for us and desiring to bless our lives. The fourth way that God will seek to get our attention is through an unanswered prayer. Why is it that some prayers are not answered by God? Be a variety of reasons. It may not be the right timing for God's answer. Or James 4 and 3 tells us, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your lust. Perhaps it's been because we've been disobedient to God. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. According to the word of God, there may even be times that prayers are unanswered in a husband or a wife's life because of how they treat their spouse. Boy, it got quiet all of a sudden. Peter wrote about the wives. He said, well, they should be in subjection. They should not let their life be defined by outward adorning, but by the hidden things of the heart. But he spoke to us husbands too. In 1 Peter 3 and 7, he said, likewise. So in the same way, he's talking to both wives and husbands. Now, he says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He's talking to both of us here today. I tell you, we need to treat each other according to the word of God so that our prayers would be answered. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want him to because he wants us to understand his nature better. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, Paul, he writes, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Could it be that perhaps God hasn't answered our prayers because he's trying to get our attention? Amen. Maybe we're asking something amiss. Maybe we've been disobedient to God, or maybe we don't have the right attitude towards our spouse, or maybe God's just trying to teach us something about ourselves and about his nature, and help us to understand we don't stand on our own strength. But in fact, when our strength has given out, that's when his grace is sufficient. And that's when we're strongest, because it's his power that rests upon us. Amen. I believe that sometimes unanswered prayers are just God's way of trying to get our attention. He's saying, hey, would you really pay attention to what I'm trying to say? Would you really get your mind focused on me? Because I want to speak to your life. Somebody pay attention to the Spirit today. Come on, don't turn a deaf ear to what the Spirit saith, but let God speak. Let him direct your life. Why does God want our attention? Why does he care about us so much? Throughout history, it's been God's desire that man would fulfill his will and his plans. And God had a plan for Adam and Eve. God had a plan for Cain and Abel. God had a plan for Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, for Joseph and for Moses and the children of Israel. And God has a plan for us here today. He has a plan for harvest. I believe it. I believe he has a plan for Springfield and the surrounding area. I believe that this area holds something special for the last day revival, a special place, a special connection. And God chooses to do his work through people. That's why he's trying to get our attention. It's because he wants to do a work through you, and he wants to do a work through me. And he's saying, hey, if you would just pay attention to my voice, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to work in your life, and I'm going to provide something great for you. Amen, amen. Come on, somebody listen to the attention-getting purpose of God. He's reaching for your life. He's tapping you on the shoulder. He's speaking to your heart. You need to have the spirit and the attitude, God, here I am. Send me, God. Speak to me. So the first reason why I believe that God seeks our attention today is because he has a calling for our lives. Moses, he was startled. Moses had spent 40 years as a shepherd. He knew every rock in that area. He knew every place grass grew. He knew where the water was. No doubt he knew each of his sheep by name. He knew the predators of that area. In 40 years, Moses had seen it all, and it was pretty much the same. Until the day he glimpsed a fire in the distance. I don't know what he thought. Perhaps he thought maybe at first the lightning had struck a tree, or maybe a fire had been started by someone traveling through the area. But when he approached the fire, he was startled. Because although it was on fire, the bush wasn't being burnt. And then he heard the voice of God above the crackle of the flames that said, "Take off your sandals. You are standing on holy ground." Talk about getting the attention of Moses. Why did God do it that way? He had to get Moses' attention. Sometimes God has to shock us because we're so preoccupied with our daily living and everything that just having it our way and so self-absorbed that God has to shock us into awareness. But he does it because he has a call for our lives. Hey, I believe in this service today that there are people that God is wanting to get your attention. Amen. Maybe your life lately has been real routine and you've been going through the motions to work and to school and coming home and spending time with family and going to church. Maybe your prayer life even has lost its freshness and its wonder that you once experienced. But I believe God's wanting to reach through all of that and get your attention. Come on, somebody. He wants to pull you up out of the ordinary, out of the mundane, because he has a calling for your life. He's got a work for you to do. There's some soul that he's going to lay on your heart, and maybe you're the only one that can reach them. Would you hear the attention-getting purpose of God today? Maybe God today wants to get our attention because he has a different path for us than the one we're on. A direction that we're not currently going. Maybe it's a complete change of mindset. Saul of Tarsus was so sure about what he was doing. In his mind, he was doing the work of the Lord. He was exterminating this threat to his religious heritage. But God was going a different direction than Saul. And he wanted to use Saul, later named Paul, to bring another dimension of revival to the church. And so we read in Acts chapter 9, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. God got his attention because God had a different direction for Saul. In fact, he had a new name for him. He had a new purpose for him. He had a new destiny for him. Who is it here today that God has a new direction for you? He has a new reason for your living. Come on, a new meaning for your life. Hey, somebody, you might have thought your life was over, and maybe you thought your good years were behind you, but God's got a new direction for you today. Maybe he's got a new name for somebody. Amen. You might not be proud of who you used to be. You may not be proud of what your name used to be. But God wants to give you a new name. Amen. 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 Saul, he counted himself as the least of the apostles. He said, I'm not worthy to be an apostle because I persecuted the church. But God gave him a new name, and God gave him a new direction, and God gave him a new destiny. I tell you, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm not who I once was. I don't have the same name, but I've been buried with him in baptism, and he's given me a new direction. Hallelujah. Today, God wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to be baptized in his name. He wants to wash away all of your sin, and he wants to fill you with his spirit to give you a new life and make you a new creature. He's trying to get your attention here today because he's got a new direction. Maybe God wants to take you to a higher level. Philip was having revival. Philip the evangelist was having revival in the city of Samaria. People were being delivered of unclean spirits. The lame were being healed. Miracles were taking place. The Holy Ghost was falling on the people of the city. And in the middle of what seemed to Philip probably as high as he could go, Acts 8:26 tells us that an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now why would Philip leave a red hot revival and go down to the middle of the desert? Don't you know that as Philip's there in the desert and he's looking around, he's got to wonder a little bit, God, what in the world are you doing? We were having revival. And here you called me, and now you've just led me out to this lonesome place. But God was getting his attention because he was taking him to a higher level. And he meets up with the Ethiopian eunuch who had the charge of all the Ethiopian queen's treasure, who, coming back from Jerusalem, and he was reading the scriptures as he traveled along in his chariot, but he didn't understand what he was reading. And we read in Acts 8:35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now there's two things here that I don't want us to miss. First of all, the eunuch realized his need to be baptized. And miraculously there in the desert, here is this pool of water. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. Philip didn't sprinkle the eunuch out of his canteen. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him by immersion. And it says that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 13, verse 52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I just kind of believe that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing when he came up out of the water, because he had been filled while he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hey, do you need a little joy today? Do you need a little rejoicing in your spirit today? What you need is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's my prayer that every one of us would leave this place talking in tongues, that every one of us would be called to a higher level, that everyone would let God get your attention and bring us up higher today. Another thing we don't want to miss is, it says that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The next verse says he was found at Azotus. He was literally translated out of the desert to a city miles and miles away. I guarantee you that Philip's little trip to the desert was worthwhile. He wouldn't change it for anything. He didn't know that before, but he knew that afterwards. In the beginning, he may not have understood why he had to leave that revival. And at first, he may not understood the desert experience. But in the end, he knew that God had sent an angel to get his attention because he wanted to take him up higher. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You might be in the desert. Come on, you might be in the desert. Don't you dare think that your best is behind you. Amen. I want to tell you, it very well could be that God is trying to get your attention because he has a purpose for you. Because he wants to take you to another level. He has something higher for you, something greater. And you think you're just stuck in the desert, but you're about to go through a breakthrough. You're about to go to another dimension. You're about to see a miracle. You keep the faith. You keep rejoicing. Come on, let's go higher today. Let's go higher today. God's trying to get our attention. The attention-getting purpose of God. One more reason why God may want to get our attention. That is a warning of danger ahead. My father had a very solemn experience a few years ago. He dreamed that he was in a plane. He was flying over Asia and that area of the world, and in that dream, the plane crashed. And there was fire all around, and the plane was destroyed, and people were killed. And it was very, very troubling to him, obviously. What was even more troubling is that he had a missions trip scheduled to the Philippines. Needless to say, he changed the trip. He didn't go that time, but he did go back a few times later on. Sometimes God wants to get our attention because he wants to warn us of danger. There are times people have visions and dreams from the Lord, and sometimes they can be troubling, even scary. But I don't believe that it's God's will to trouble us and to torment us. That's not who he is. He doesn't want to torment us. But when God sends a warning, perhaps through a dream or a vision, or through a spoken word in our life, or through restlessness, it might not always be because that's what's going to come to pass. It may be so that we can pray that it doesn't come to pass. It's not that God's wanting you to suffer that destruction. He's wanting you to go to a place of prayer so that destruction doesn't come to pass. Amen. If God is trying to get our attention today in order to warn us, then we better be paying attention so that we can make sure we're in his will, and so we can check our spirits and check our motives, and so we can make things right with him, so we can spend time in prayer and change the trajectory our life is headed in. Thank God for times of warning. Thank God for looking out for us. Thank God for His protection. God's been dealing with you, if His Spirit has been troubling you, if God has sent a little restlessness your way, don't you ignore that. He wants to get your attention on purpose. Amen. He wants to do something. He's trying to accomplish something in your life. We read today in Revelation 3:19, God tells us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. God's knocking at somebody's heart today. God's tapping somebody on the shoulder. God's speaking to somebody's life right now. I tell you, God has a reason why He's trying to get your attention. It could be that there's a new dimension ahead. It could be a warning from danger ahead. It could be that God is trying to take you to a higher level. It could be that God is saying, I want to use you, and I've got a calling for your life, and I want you to hear my voice. The attention-getting purpose of God. I wonder if you'd stand with me in closing today. So good to have my in-laws here. I've preached about Candy quite a few lately, times lately. Candy, our little puppy, she thinks she's a person. Well, we have her all trained. She has her room at night, her little place, and she goes, and she's pretty good. But something happened. We had some relatives come visit, and she loves my father-in-law. And if she hears his voice in the house, she does everything she can to get out of that room, and she starts yapping and barking and crying because she wants to get to where he is because she recognizes his voice. I wonder today, we as sheep, and the Lord is the good shepherd, do we recognize His voice? Do we recognize His voice? Because I tell you, He's speaking. I believe God is always reaching for us. I believe God is always speaking. But sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we're too preoccupied. Sometimes we've got too much noise going on in our life. But I wonder if we could quiet the noise today. And I wonder if we could hear from the Spirit. Come on, would you let God begin to minister and to work in your life today? Would you recognize His voice? Would you recognize the need for change in your life? Would you recognize the need to repent? Would you recognize the need for His Spirit to lead you and guide you? Maybe God's not calling you to even move from the place you are in life. Maybe God's saying, I just want you to stand still in this place and not be so nervous about the future, because I've got your future under control. But you keep trusting me and you keep believing me, and I'm going to work the details out and I'm going to make a way. Hey, you may not understand His timing, but God, when He moves, He does it right. Hallelujah. The attention-getting purpose of God. I don't know that God's going to send you a dream. I don't know that He's going to give you a vision. May not be an audible voice from heaven, but in this place, I tell you today, God has been speaking. Through every song, through morning manna, through the choir, it has all been in the hand of the Lord, and He's been orchestrating a move of His presence. And it all comes down to this point, to this moment right now. Will you let Him get your attention? Will you let Him speak to your life? Will you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? I wonder if you'd join me in this altar right now and you'd let God speak.
into your life. I wonder if you would answer his calling upon you. I wonder if you'd hear the voice of the Spirit as he reaches for us in this place. The attention-getting purpose of God.